is the evening edition from Starcom Network News. Our top stories: the United Kingdom delivers a setback to Barbados's tourism recovery efforts. Police investigate yet another shooting. BSTU members seek a meeting with health officials about the COVID situation in relation to schools in Barbados, as the BUT supports pressing ahead with face-to-face classes, but also wants stringent protocols. The evening edition from Starcom Network News. I'm Carol Roberts. Details coming up. Our top story. New travel rules announced by the United Kingdom government today mean bad news for Barbados's tourism sector. Local tourism officials say the rules set back Barbados's hopes for a quick return of UK tourists after our system for receiving vaccinated travellers takes effect from tomorrow. Minister of Tourism and International Transport, Senator Lisa Cummins, explained to Starcom Network News how Barbados will be affected by being placed on the UK's Amber Travel List.
So the implications are significant, certainly for the next month or so. Barbados, as you know, has our new entry protocols beginning on the 8th of May. We did not necessarily anticipate that there was going to be any significant change in the UK market immediately, as we were not expecting significant UK traffic until the latter part of the year, quarter three and quarter four. So while that was our expectation, that really was our worst case scenario. Our best case scenario would have been that we would have been seeing traffic earlier. So this announcement today by the UK has absolutely been significant and damaging, further damaging, I should say, to the Barbados tourism product.
Senator Cummins also explained the UK travel list.
So you have the US, Canada, the rest of the world, the majority of Europe, all in the amber list, and a few countries in the red list. So what that means in principle for persons who are traveling is that there is a mandatory quarantine period at home upon return from Barbados. And so in practical terms, it means that if I have 7 days vacation or if I have 10 days vacation and I have to come to Barbados and I have to quarantine here and then I have my vacation and I have to go back to the UK and I have to quarantine there, then it means that my vacation becomes untenable.
Barbados's Minister of Tourism and International Transport, Senator Lisa Cummins. Police are investigating the latest in a series of shootings. It occurred last night at the Esso petrol station at Tweedside Road in St. Michael. Starcom Network News understands that there was an altercation between two men and shots were fired at a man who was seated in a car. No one was injured and the perpetrator is still being sought. Meanwhile, the attacker who stabbed several people in the St. Lawrence, Dover, Christchurch area earlier this week is still undergoing treatment in hospital. Two of his victims have been discharged from the QEH, while one is still under assessment at the A&E, and a fourth has been admitted to a ward. And in another police matter, there is yet no arrest in connection with the fatal shooting at the Pine St. Michael recently. The victim was on bail on a murder charge at the time of his death. In health news, in the face of at least one COVID-19 case so far at the Princess Margaret Secondary School and two more potential cases being investigated, the membership of the Barbados Secondary Teachers Union is requesting a meeting with health officials to raise a number of concerns. BSTU President Marianne Redman tells Starcom Network News that more than 270 of her members met online for well over 2 hours last evening to discuss the COVID situation in light of the resumption of face-to-face classes. Ms. Redman was in the process of writing to the Ministry of Health about the outcomes, which include a call for enhanced protocols at schools and health officials meeting with teachers to hear their concerns directly.
We want to invite the COVID teams to visit the schools while they're actually in session. So again, they will have a more practical understanding of day-to-day realities in our schools. because the problem is that persons are proposing protocols that the students are not readily adhering to. There is a problem in the schools with getting children to remain physically distant, to wear their masks, and to stop congregating. There is a problem on public transportation. And once those problems exist, we have to, in the schools, attempt to mitigate risk as best we can.
The BSTU also wants the physical distancing requirements enhanced and is proposing a reduction in the number of students allowed in each school at any one time, with face-to-face classes limited for the time being to only those students doing examinations, with the return of other students on a phased-in basis.
And right now, the three-foot distancing will not be efficacious in that regard. So that is our focus. 6-foot distancing and retaining only the examination classes within the schools to allow for that 6-foot distancing to occur and to allow the best possible safety and health for all persons who use the schools. We can continue with online instruction with the other classes until the exam classes go off and do their exams and until the whole issue is clarified in relation to COVID infection in schools, and we are able to more solidly plan how the other classes, the other groups, can be brought back into school in the safest possible manner.
BSTU President Marianne Redman. In related news, President of the Barbados Union of Teachers, Pedro Shepherd, believes there is a need to press ahead with face-to-face classes as the country will have to learn to live with COVID. He also thinks it's inevitable that there will be more COVID cases in schools, citing the need for stringent protocols that are strictly enforced.
Managing it is going to be the critical thing, because once we open back schools, we know that there are going to be cases. How widespread the cases are, we are not sure. We will only know that when these children come back to school, because they're not testing children at the moment. So once they're back into school and teachers are able to pick up any signs or whatever, some of them are asymptomatic as well. So we just have to be on our guards, fully educated, very, very vigilant, and try to see how best we can manage the process.
BUT President Pedro Shepherd. The Democratic Labour Party spokesman on health, Paul Gibson, supports the return to face-to-face classes and believes the key is to ensure adequate protocols are in place and properly enforced. He says this is especially critical given the level of interaction that takes place on public transport and elsewhere.
The systems and processes must be set in place. One of my greatest concerns is that we have kids going back to school, but they're being packed into minibuses to come to school. And some things, it may not be the school, it may just be the fact that people are packing 15 and 20 people into one minibus and they're going into each other's bubbles and compromising each other, and then they're going to the school. So the question is, we have to make sure that all along the continuum that the steps are being taken to ensure that these children are being protected.
Democratic Labour Party spokesman on health, Paul Gibson. But opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley believes it was a mistake to resume face-to-face classes so soon.
My views, and I've expressed this before, I think government was a bit hasty in announcing a reopening date for schools in April. Then, of course, we had the ASH situation and they had to put that off. My view is that having had a shutdown of the economy for virtually a month, the numbers obviously would have naturally tended to trend low. I do not think that that provided, therefore, sufficient basis for government to take a decision to reopen schools at the time which they did. I thought they should have waited a little longer after the reopening of the country to some extent to see what the figures were suggesting in terms of the trends and the containment of the spread of this thing. I think they were a bit hasty.
Opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley, the World Health Organization has granted emergency approval for the COVID vaccine made by Chinese firm Sinopharm. It is the first vaccine developed in a non-Western country to get WHO backing. Until now, the WHO had only approved vaccines made by Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna. And finally, in the U.S. state of Idaho, A girl reported to be 11 or 12 years old has shot and wounded two other students and a member of staff at a school. Police say the three victims are expected to survive. The authorities said a female teacher managed to disarm the girl and detained her until police took her into custody. The motive for the shooting is not yet clear. Recapping our top stories in the 5:30 edition of The Latest, the United Kingdom delivers a setback to Barbados's tourism recovery efforts. Police investigate yet another shooting. BSTU members seek a meeting with health officials about the COVID situation in relation to schools as the BUT supports pressing ahead with face-to-face classes, but also wants stringent protocols. The evening edition from Starcom Network News. I'm Carol Roberts. Good afternoon.